you know, where the broken bone heals, it's supposedly stronger in that one area than it was before the break. And the skin is tougher where the scar is. If there's a cut or a wound, than it was before the cut or wound occurred. However, that is not necessarily the case when it comes to the human psyche and the mind. In fact, the trick is to remove the scar tissue and remove the extra built-up area around the broken bone of the mind. And Dr. George Pratt's been working on that for 3 decades, and along with Peter Lambreau, with whom he co-authored this book. They've cleared 45,000 people between themselves and their colleagues. They know what they're talking about, and their book will help you. Code to Joy, 4-Step Solution to Unlocking Your Natural State of Happiness, and his websites are codetojoy.com and also drgeorgepratt.com. Don't spell out doctor, use DR, and then George Pratt with 2 T's.com. And we will continue with the final hour with Dr. George Pratt when we return. 2 minutes, please. This is Coast to Coast AM. Well, it's in with you for the night with Dr. George Pratt tonight. By the way, the email address, which I mentioned you could send me an email, but didn't bother to give out the address, John B, J-O-H-N, B as in Bravo, at coasttocoastam.com. You can just shoot one off here to me, and I'll read it if I can get to it. Dr. Pratt, that philosophically speaking thing, would you even care to comment on why it seems that, is it just such a basic component, sort of like studying Greek theater because the stories never change, that the parallel to shame and criticism being so much of the human condition, you'd think we had nothing else to do but inflict those two things on each other?
Well, you know, that's an interesting thing. Back to the Greek thing, they would, in the Greek theater, the deus ex machina comes down, you know, the rescuer from the skies bails people out when, you know, it looks like all hell's going to break loose. You know, what happens when people are critical, that's because they've been raised with that and they've internalized it. Now, if they were really trying to use a technique that got results, criticism does not work. The only thing that works is positive reinforcement. You do have to give logical, you have to give realistic feedback, but you have to give it constructive way. And 93% of an emotional communication is not the words that you say, it's how you say it. You're an expert with inflection and how you make statements. So you can make a statement to a child that sounds harsh or that sounds friendly, and it can be the same words. So it's the tone. So with people, when they're critical, that's what they've learned how to do, and they haven't been trained, and they haven't been trained on how to give constructive feedback and use positive reinforcement. There's a great book called The 1 Minute Manager. Essentially, what they're talking about is find somebody doing something right and reinforce them, acknowledge it. So if somebody's doing 10 things wrong, and then they finally do something right, then you praise that. You still have to give realistic feedback for the other, but try to reinforce the positive. So it's people that are critical don't feel good about themselves. They don't have a copy of Code to Joy. They're not feeling either safe, worthy, powerful, lovable, like they can trust themselves. They don't feel like they're good, or they don't feel like they're connected. And people can do that.
If someone comes to you and they say, "Doc, look, the problem is that normally I'm a pretty happy person, but I find that if I let my guard down and I'm just walking through the mall or something, and I'm in a pretty good mood and I'm not really paying attention, sure enough, here will come somebody that wants to stiff arm me, or, you know, they've developed a trend or a pattern in their life of becoming a criticism or an abuse magnet, even out in public, if they don't have that don't mess with me kind of thing going all the time. They sort of put up this force field of attitude to keep the amateurs out, so to speak.
Right, and that's a very good point. But remember, we're talking about this issue that we have energy within us. We have this electrical activity that is us, and that as a result of this electrical activity, there is a field of energy that surrounds us, and we can influence that by our attitude. Now, by the way, when we're talking about energy, I'll give you a little interesting anecdote here. During the Russian manned space flights, the cosmonauts, all of them had their body's energy measured in space flight, which is interesting.
Yeah.
So we have not done that in America, but it's possible to measure energy. And as you're talking about walking through a crowded area with an attitude, people can read energy even from a distance, and some people are very good at doing it from great distances, and which is a whole different topic. But this, you can fill the field of energy around you with any kind of energy that you want. You know, I would think if I would want to fill mine with just feeling kind of joyful, positive, it doesn't mean that I'm going to be vulnerable. If I'm not, this person's kind of giving a, you know, don't fool with me attitude, which then invites certain people to fool with them. If you are just clear and aligned, you're not going to have a problem. It's like people go into bars and they have an attitude of, nobody's going to fool with me. Somebody else reads that energy and then there's a fight. Obviously, alcohol helps to fuel that, but this field of energy, just be careful what you fill it with. When you want to be close with people, fill it with love. When you are with a person that you love, send them love from your heart. They can feel it. So use it for your own best purposes.
Well, you know, I've heard that said about people before, that if they walk into a room and they're in a good mood, the whole room, even if it was collectively in a bad mood, becomes in a good mood. And if that same person walks in there in the bad mood, boy, it drags everybody down with them. I mean, immediately. Some of these personalities are just that strong.
Absolutely.
So I suppose.
And you know, sometimes it's said that there's two kinds of people. One that when they walk into a room, they bring smiles. The other, when they leave the room. Fortunately, the ones that are leaving and eliciting smiles that have an issue. It's an interesting thing. Let's go back to dealing with kind of cranky people.
Yeah.
If somebody said something to you today, let's say, instead of getting angry and frustrated or having your subconscious search for all the time somebody been kind of cranky with you. This is going to sound crazy, but just imagine sending them, this is going to sound very new agey, but send a little white light to their heart. That will actually have an effect on them. You will do something positive. You will feel better because you're actually doing something to improve the situation. So you're taking control of it instead of just being a recipient. And you're actually doing something.
That's kind of a biblical thing, you know. You know, don't return an insult with an insult. All you're doing is just accelerating the process of crisis.
Yeah, there's a lot to be said for that.
Well, it's Easter, so I thought I'd throw that in, you know.
That's a good thing.
Well, let me ask you this. Now, have you ever dealt with anyone that you had to try and clear who could not remember what had happened to them? They just knew they were suffering?
Oh, many times. Severe traumas. They might not remember what happened. I've had some military personnel like that, where they couldn't remember what happened. They know there was a trauma. They might have been injured, but they're either amnesic or they're so traumatized from the event they can't remember the circumstances. And actually, there's a way to still clear that, even though they're not, they don't have many parameters to identify what was going on. You know, I told you about that muscle testing, my clinical, that neuromuscular feedback, that is just a gem of a method because you can identify generally what has happened with that, enough so that you can either determine the year or the basic category to go after, or you just use one of the interventions that you can just think, okay, let's if you've been through something traumatic and you can't remember what it is, let's use the belief that we're going to clear I'm powerless, because if you can't remember it, you're not going to feel very confident.
Right.
And actually, you can clear it with that, oddly enough. Remember, the subconscious mind can act a million times faster than the conscious mind.
Well, that's an amazing disproportionate amount of power, isn't it?
Might as well go where the power is. And the sub, for example, if you have a subconscious negative belief, another way to look at that, it's a million times more powerful than a conscious affirmation. So if you're just doing conscious affirmations, there's a better way to spend your time.
Well, in that case, Dr. Pratt, why doesn't positive thinking alone work for people?
Well, the problem is, hold on just one sec.
No worries.
The problem is positive thinking only works while you're thinking positively. When you stop consciously thinking, then all of that subconscious glop is still there putting out the profoundly positive, negative material. So if you're working on, let's say, you're wanting to work on the affirmation, I'm worthy and worthwhile. So let's say that you're just thinking, I'm worthy and worthwhile, I'm worthy and worthwhile, I'm worthy and worthwhile. And let's say you're doing that for 10 minutes a day or 10 minutes at a time. When you stop consciously thinking, I'm worthy and worthwhile, the negative programs go right back to where they were because you haven't healed the source of this. It's a little bit like frosting on a cake. You have to get, you can't just put frosting on it. So you have to get to the source. So that's what this book is about, is identifying the source and moving from there. So we're, you know, the asteroid hits, the big traumas are easy to identify, but there's a method to clear those. And then identifying basic beliefs, talking about how to learn this muscular, neuromuscular feedback, and then affirmations that will work because you've already cleared the resistance subconsciously. So an example of that would be, let's say, If you've cleared the subconscious resistance and the resistance in, let's say, the body's energy system, the meridians, for example, let's say if you have been feeling that you're not lovable and you've cleared the resistance, then the positive affirmation that you would be installing is, I am a loving person and I am loved. But you don't have to repeat it all day long. You do a treatment, and for many of these things, one treatment would be sufficient. But we want you to do something daily. So we have a daily homework program that would take you about 3 minutes a day. And you do that for about a month on these issues. And that will reinforce it and also strengthen you in other ways. So if you feel it's a negative belief that is a deeply held subconscious one, that you can't trust anyone, then after you clear the resistance, you'd be thinking things like, I'm surrounded by trusting and trustworthy friends. If you were feeling I'm bad, now I bring value to everyone I meet. If you're feeling alone, you could think I'm a child of God or I'm a child of the universe. That you are connected to all those that you love and that love you. But it works when you clear the aura. origin. So what we want to do is we want to essentially pull the weeds out by the roots. We don't want to just superficially treat this.
Mm-hmm.
People that are not feeling safe, I'm completely safe and secure and everything is okay. For feeling worthless, I'm worthy and deserving of all success. If you're feeling powerless, I'm powerful and capable. But the idea is you clear it so you can believe it and you install it and you strengthen it.
Does meditation help absent a seminar and some focused clearing as you do for people? I mean, can meditation tide people over until they can get to the the main initiative?
Yeah, it's a wonderful tool, and I like meditation. I recommend it. I do it myself, and my thought is, and there's many good ways to learn meditation. My thought is if you're going to spend the amount of time doing meditation, then while you're already in that relaxed state, why not utilize some of these tools to actually resolve the problem? But meditation is very good for the brain. There's lots of good resources in that area. What you want to do to really be happy and healthy and creating more joy, meditation is a wonderful tool. We talk about it in the book. First thing you want to do is you want to clear all the asteroid strikes. That means clears all the old traumas, clear all the micro traumas, all of the things that you think, wow, I didn't even realize that I was carrying around some love pain that, from high school that's interfering with me completely loving my wife. So you want to clear the asteroid, the micro-traumas. You want to eat consciously. Pay attention to what you're eating. Eat in a healthy way. You want to exercise sanely. One of the things, if you are kind of getting back to the issue of antidepressants again, Duke University did a study some time ago that showed that if people did cardio where they were walking 30 minutes a day for 5 out of 7 days, that in about a month and a half, you could significantly reduce the symptoms of major depression. So if you have some tendency towards depression, you want to at least do 30 minutes a day of walking, preferably brisk walking. If you have to start at 20, you have to start at 5 minutes of work up from there, that's a good thing. And just build it up. But that will do quite a number of wonderful things for you. Your outlook will be brighter, be healthier. It's good for your mind, body, spirit system. So that should hopefully be a part of everybody's life.
One way or another, that old physical exercise is pretty hard to beat, isn't it?
It is, and I hate to say it. The three things that we hopefully learned growing up, get proper sleep, eat properly, and exercise, that's all absolutely true. Even the newest studies at Scripps Clinic on the amount of sleep, you want, on average, people vary a little bit, but you want about 8 hours.
Gotcha.
If you get less than 6 hours, you have some problems.
All right, we'll be back for our final segment. I hate to cut you off, my doctor, but we've got to take one of those proverbial breaks, and we're going to do it, and we'll come back. Be patient. This is Coast to Coast AM. We're going to take two or three calls with Dr. George Pratt. His book, Code to Joy, It Is Possible. And we're going to answer a couple of questions that have been sent to me by email. I will relay them to him. Just give us 2 minutes, just 2 minutes. Coast to Coast AM will continue. Stand by. Wells with you tonight. Dr. Pratt, obviously you have a love for people. Otherwise, I can't imagine that you would be devoting your life to helping them. And I've got a couple of emails in front. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. I've got a couple of emails here, and there are some people that are really hurt. One man was is in his 70s, said he was diagnosed as bipolar some years ago, and finally had to just throw his medication away because he preferred to live with the ups and downs rather than just be just a walking meatloaf. Another person asked about a soldier, veteran that has been 100% PTSD. And is it too late after having lived with that for all these years? And then a lady just sent one that said she's in her 60th year. She's an artist and a singer and wants to get clear of this stuff. Is it ever too late to clear yourself? I mean, unless it's an organic problem that has to be addressed some other way.
It is never too late. And the nice thing is the tools exist now. And you said that I like people. I get to do such a range of things now and to be so much more effective that it's a joy. And I am grateful every day to be doing what I'm doing now. And if people go to the website, they'll see some of the interesting things and see what is possible.
And that's drgeorgepratt.com. That's the website to go to
right.
for that.
Right. And, for example, the person with bipolar that threw the meds away, that's a very common thing with the condition because people don't like feeling flat. It depends. You know, that's a complicated issue. Good news is that there, even with distress like that, that there is hope. There are tools that can help people feel more balanced. And I think that the individual should talk to their doctor and not give up hope and try to work collaboratively. Some medications do cause people to feel pretty bad. So there's some things to explore, and it depends on lots of different factors. The woman who's 60, absolutely, there's time. And the PTSD, let me tell you what's happening with the military. Walter Reed Army Hospital, that has been renamed, they're now using they're doing a study right now on using these energy techniques that I was talking about. And I'm on some website for battle, I can't quite remember the one, but they're using these tools. They have, there was a study done with, I think, approximately 50 individuals with very severe post-traumatic stress disorder. They were in, all had been in very severe combat situations, and with a series of six energy psychology, or for this kind of method, it was tapping on these acupressure points in the body, that after six sessions, the majority of people, the tremendous majority, had stopped the symptoms of post-traumatic stress, the recurrent repetitive images, the nightmares, et cetera, et cetera. So there is hope, and there is actually hope very rapidly. And these kinds of tools are being introduced more and more, and they're more and more available. So that's the good news. It's just keep at it. And, I gave you the name of an organization, ASEP, which is great for resources as well.
Let's have that again, Doctor.
The ASEP is www.energypsych.org. They have, it's a combination of professionals and lay individuals that provide services, but there's quite a complete website, and there's some new research on these techniques and explanation of how they work, as well as seminars. And so that's exciting, too. So it's never too late, and anybody that wants to get help can do it. And just know that it's possible, be persistent, and technology is available, even though some of these techniques, probably the origin of these are probably a couple thousand years ago with a little bit of traditional Chinese medicine with the portions that are traditional Chinese. Nature, and then we have the best of modern science with being able to see in the brain what is actually happening now to confirm these changes, which is very exciting. So,
do you feel like taking a call or two?
Oh, I'd love to.
Let's talk to Scott in Duarte, California, on Wild One. Scott, if you're there, come up on the bridge into the global living room and talk with Dr. Pratt.
Okay, am I coming through?
You sure are.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Hi. I was wondering, Dr. Brad, if you felt that your upbringing as far as your parents and, like me, for instance, my parents always had a lot of friends, and they had, they'd always come over to the house and on the weekends, and you know, we'd have volleyball games and you know, all kinds of stuff. And I was very sociable at a young age, and then I had an older sister who, you know, through her, she used to have, you know, pajama parties, of course, with her friends, and so I was excuse me. Through growing up like that, I became very self-assured and confident being around people. Do you feel that that would be the case generally?
The question, Scott, is if you grow up with a good family of origin, conditioning. Obviously, that's a wonderful thing. So you had family that was very social. You had a sister that would have sleepovers, and that was very good. And I'm not exactly sure what your question is, Scott.
Well, that was a lot of it, yes. And because by the time I was in high school, I was just always very self-confident and, didn't ever feel, no matter what anybody said or anything, I never felt, took it to heart or anything. I just blew it off like, oh, well, And I think that was my feeling that it was due to the fact that of my upbringing and everything, I just had a lot of self-confidence.
Well, that's you're very fortunate, and yes, when you have a strong family of origin experience where you're encouraged and loved, and you've had a role model by your parents and your sister, and they're social and interactive, that leads to people like you feeling more confident and positive, and that sets in motion wonderful things. And you're very fortunate. And yes, that's about as good as it gets.
Well, let me ask you this, Dr. Pratt. The overachievers who are driven to succeed are often that way because they're out to prove someone wrong who told them they would never amount to anything. Does that happen? I guess it does.
It can go either way. It can. It's just like I was talking earlier about Daryl Strawberry, whose father told him he was never going to amount to anything. So he compensated and became exceptional, but he's still carrying around in his biofield and in his subconscious some of that negativity. So it has a lingering effect unless you clear it. And that's what you want to do. You want to... Not everybody has a perfect childhood, but you can create a healing effect by going through and identifying these asteroid strikes and these micro traumas and feeling stronger and healthier within yourself. so that you can feel confident and more worthy and just trusting yourself more. Go ahead.
Well, I was just about to jump off into another direction. Do you feel that ADD and ADHD is overdiagnosed?
Well,
because I do. I just wondered if you did.
Yeah, it seems to be so. The statistics are so extreme these days in terms of identification. I know we're more sensitized to it, and so we're not exactly sure what the cause is. We don't know if it's an issue of diagnosis or if there's a greater predominance of these symptoms, but it is tremendously higher than it used to be. And we don't know if that's because of better diagnosis or if there's a difference in terms of symptoms in some other way.
Any thoughts on autism? I understand it's on the rise.
Yes.
Do you have an opinion? Is it environmental? Is it evolutionary? I mean, what is it?
Current thinking is that it's genetic and that it happens. Even there were some new findings 2 weeks ago, as a matter of fact, in terms of now being able to predict when it happens. There's a burst of cellular growth in a certain part of the brain during pregnancy, and that seems it's this unchecked growth in the brain. It seems to create the autism spectrum, and that's just within the last couple of weeks.
Unbelievable. Rose in Denver, Wild 2, are you there?
I am. I'm so glad I got in. I've had so many asteroid hits, it's unreal. When I was born, my mother had to give up her thriving beauty business. She had a high-end beauty shop, and she let me know all my life she resented me for losing her career.
And how did this impact you, do you feel?
Oh, Lord. I have PTSD. I have lupus. I was kidnapped and raped in my 20s. I married an alcoholic man that beat me. I'm disabled now, chronically ill. I'm 63 years old, and I feel like a failure. Nothing works.
Rose, it's never too late. You have been through hell, and it's not by anything you did. Your mother's attitude towards you, she had a disabling perspective herself. So I want you to know that there is help, and those traumas can be healed and cleared. And lupus and autoimmune disorders, their effect is magnified from stress, and you are off the charts in terms of stress. When you start working on some of these targets and reducing them, you're going to feel so much better. And just to know that there is help. And are you seeing a therapist or a psychologist where you are?
I've seen psychiatrists, therapists. I'm seeing one now. I've tried EFT. Nothing works. Nothing. I don't know what the problem to start with.
Okay. I would talk to your therapist now and ask them why things are not working for you. And get some feedback. You know, what happens is when you have multiple traumas of that magnitude, you need, I hope that your therapist is trained in trauma treatment. If they're not, ask them to please refer you to a trauma specialist. Let's start there.
She is. She's very, very good, and she thinks it's my childhood.
Go back on the childhood. Let's start with the first asteroid strike with your mother, with the resentment that you interfered with her career, that your mother was not a whole person to do that. And you can go back and clear that and heal that. Let's start with that one.
you, and God bless you.
And bless you, too. Just know that there is help. And I mean,
thanks, Rose.
Thank you, Rose.
Well, I'll tell you what, this is one of the fastest, this is the fastest 3 hours. I say that a lot, but they're getting faster. I don't know. There's some sort of a disruption, the space-time continuum. We're down to just a couple of minutes, Dr. Pratt. What would you like to leave a few million of our closest friends with?
I want people to have more joy in their life. The whole idea is to clear the negative, install the positive. When I was talking about, okay, what can you do to be better? We were last talking about sleep. If you only get 4 hours of sleep, your killer T cells drop to 50%, so your immune system goes sideways. So get decent sleep. So we talked about clearing the traumas, eating and exercising. I would wrap yourself in fractals. Fractals are repetitive images in nature that are very good for the limbic system, which is the fight, flight, or freeze processing center. So trees, ocean, lakes, streams, moving water, because there are visual images that are very calming to the fear processing center in the brain. Write and build a gratitude list. What happens, there's a part of the brain, the reticular activating system. It's like the Google of the brain. When you are working on gratitude, that part of your brain is going to be scanning for what you're grateful for, so you will get more of it. Make time for your renewal, physical, mental, emotional, spiritual. Feel a connection to whether it's God, nature, humanity, or life itself. Demonstrate kindness to others, help other people, and just know that there's help. There's help for everything now.
It's been an absolute delight to speak with you tonight, and I hope you will come back again for another disruption in the space-time continuum, okay?
I like the disruptions in the space-time continuum, John.
So do I, Dr. Pratt. Happy Easter, sir.
You too, and blessings to everyone.
Thank you. All right, Dr. George Pratt, his book, Code to Joy. That last song we played during the last long break was called Who's Behind the Door. I'll tell you who it is. It's you, and it's me. Some of all these, the good, the bad, and the ugly, are all inside of us. But once you know this, you've already taken the first step. Until next Saturday night, take care of yourselves, will you? You're worth more than you may think. Let's meet up at the usual undisclosable location. Until then, happy Easter and good night.